York.
I'm like Abdul Rahim Mahmoud, Judith Hafiz and Mahmoud Medina.
Ari Fasha, he missed it a lot.
Once I like Ohio.
Assalamualaikum, Sister Celine. Long time New Jersey.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Tibet.
Muted. The recording has started.
Dear believers, Muslims, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We welcome you to this presentation for this week on the life topics, where we are looking at the circumstances of the Prophet's life and mission when portions of the Quran were revealed. My name is Rashad Abdul Rahman. I am the assistant imam for the Atlanta Masjid here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I am also the founder and director for the Institute of Quran Study and Leadership. I'm happy to be here. I had a slight setback this morning, but Allah is merciful and allowed for me to get here right on time. And we want to, as always, thank Sister Fitra Muhammad in her diligent work with the Study Al-Islam program to keep the language of our leader alive and at the same time expand our mind and our hearts for our understanding of this religion. So I want to pick up from where I left off last week. Last week we were discussing Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah of the Quran. And we made some comments in regards to that surah in terms of what was occurring in the life of the Prophet and some other surrounding or information regarding what we would call the comparison of scripture, because after all, the Quran, as most of us know, is a commentary on what came before. But I did, in going over what we presented last week, I did come to see some things that were left out, some details that I want to go over with us today, inshallah. As was mentioned, this surah is believed to be one of the last, if not the last, surahs revealed. Now, there's a difference of opinion on that issue from the scholars, because after all, as was mentioned before, the science of dealing with the circumstances of revelation is not as exact as other disciplines of study in Islam. So some opinions is that Surah An-Nasr, when we say إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ, when comes the help of God and the victory, and you see the people enter into the religion in crowds, in droves, as one translator puts it, it's believed that perhaps that was the last surah. Though the way it's structured, it appears to be more of a Medinan surah, Meccan surah, pardon me, but many consider it Medinan. And then another opinion is that Surah Al-Fath, which is also called the victory. So the victory is mentioned in Surah Al-Nasr, the Fath, and then there's a surah called the victory, where Allah tells the Prophet, indeed we have granted you a great victory. So it's believed that perhaps that that surah is also the last one. But the evidence is not conclusive either way. So what's understood then is that if the fifth surah is not the last one, we know, or the evidence is strong, that the verse that we mentioned last week is the last, is one of the last verses revealed. And it is said that this verse, the third verse of the fifth surah, was actually revealed during either the Prophet's last sermon that he gave, or during that farewell pilgrimage in which he gave the last sermon. And we know the verse where Allah says, this day have I perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Al-Islam as a religion. Now, what we know is that his farewell sermon and his farewell pilgrimage, which go together, of course, they were after the conquest of Mecca. And we know that Mecca was the religious center of the Arabian Peninsula. And when the prophet conquered that city, then he solidified his position as the leader of the peninsula. Now, there still were areas or regions of the peninsula that did not submit to his leadership. However, they were the minority in number, and it was only a matter of time before they came under the fold of the Muslim Ummah or leadership. It's important to understand they didn't have to even become Muslim necessarily. Not in the beginning, but they did have to accept the authority of the Muslims. And we know the history of the prophet from his struggle in the beginning in Mecca all the way to his ascendancy and his victory in Medina, in conquering Mecca, etc. Now, all of this background has to be appreciated when we consider this particular verse. Meaning the background of the prophet's history and his mission has to be seen and appreciated when we look at this verse where Allah says he has perfected al-Islam and completed his favor upon man. The first point is this. We are told in another part of the Quran that this religion is religion that is established upon and really by reasoning, it begins with the human nature. This is called Deen al-Fitra. So Allah says, set your face towards the religion upright, Fitratillahi allati fatara an-nasa alayha, the nature upon which he has originated human society. And in this particular verse, in the fifth surah, Allah says, this day have I perfected for you your religion. So what these verses say, or when we read these verses in the broad context, it is saying that al-Islam is completing a process that began with the very creation of man. And by way of al-Islam, human nature itself is now given everything that it needs to arrive at its completion. The history of the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is really a sign of this. As we know, prior to his conquering Mecca, the Kaaba and the city itself was characterized by idol worship. And that house called Kaaba, it is a sign of our original nature, our fitra. And the fact that they had that house filled with idols, 360 or more idols, was really a sign of what had been done to the nature of man and to the soul of man down through time, that the oppressive rulers who wanted power and dominance on this earth, they put idol worship, they put mythological ideas upon the psychology of the masses of the world to hold back their fitra, to hold back their pure nature, so that their pure nature would never arrive at the destiny that Allah wanted for the nature to arrive at when he created it. And this is the scheme, or this is the way that the ancients have ruled over the publics of their society for generations. Ancient Egypt and the nations that came before ancient Egypt down to the modern time. This has been the strategy to fill the pure, innocent nature, to surround it with and fill it with false gods. In our world today, we don't have stones and wood. We have, for example, ideas and influences such as vanity, money, love for women, love for men, lust, etc. So these things have always been used. Now, why is this important? Well, what does this have to do with Ma'idah? We have to understand that this verse, again, and this surah, they are conclusive. All of the laws that are given in this surah are considered to be the conclusive laws. Since this is the last, it's one of the last surahs revealed, then the food, the dietary law, the laws around wudu, the marriage law regarding how we can marry, the men can marry women from the people of the book, and we can eat their food. These are considered to be the definitive laws of Al-Islam. And at the same time, if we read through it, we will see how God gives definitive, he expresses definitively what our relationship is to be with the people of the book. And he speaks specifically about the role of the Quran in relationship to their books. He says, for instance, that the Quran is a muhaimin. It is a guardian over even their books, meaning that the truth and the meanings of the Quran guard and protect the meanings that are with them in their books. So all of this has to be understood. Now, back to the history, though. This history is unique because the Prophet's mission, though it is seen as occurring with him on the peninsula, it is really typifying what has happened to the soul of man, or is representing what has happened to the soul and the life of man down through time. And the breakthrough or the beginning of the great victory for the human soul in the history of man was Abraham discovering the direction for human life and human society on this planet Earth. And he is the one who built the Kaaba. So he is given by God the vision for human community. He is given the vision that shows him, and he passes it down to his children, that man is one. First of all, God is one. The universe is one. Life is one. Man is one. And man is to have a destiny under God, where all human beings are seen as equal. All human beings, because of their equality under God and by virtue of their creation, are to have access to education. They're supposed to have access to the goods or the benefits of this material world, and government order should exist to safeguard those rights under God, and human beings ought to have the best future possible in light of this freedom, justice, and equality that's guaranteed to them by virtue of their creation. All of this was seen by Abraham. Now, the problem comes when the descendants of Abraham didn't take up the calls and continue the calls. So they were given the covenant, and they were given the book. This is why it says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, it goes from the Jews to the Christians. Allah says, we sent to them the Torah, in it was guidance and light. And we sent to them the Christians, in which was guidance and light. But speaks of how, with that light and with that guidance, they deviated from the way. The rabbis and the doctors of law and the priests and the monks, they lost the way of Abraham. So they were not successful in carrying human society forward to arrive at that great destiny that God had showed to Abraham. So here you have the fitrah, the original nature, that's in the first man, and it has a direction in it. It has a direction that it wants to go in by virtue of how it was created. Allah gave it a natural spirit and a natural direction to come to the best possible future. And, of course, we know the first man was deceived by the shaitan. And generations later, Allah educates Abraham, the intellect now, and shows him how the life is to be established on this earth, how the fitrah is to be established on this earth, how the fitrah is to be brought to its most excellent conclusion in the plan of God. And now Abraham educates his descendants so that they can be of those who bring that about, and they lose the way. They lose the way. So it is concluded with the Jewish people, with Jesus Christ. And this is why his disciples pray for a table to come from the heaven, because they know that his work was to help bring about the kingdom, but the kingdom was not complete in his lifetime or during his mission. So they pray for the table spread, meaning, as we mentioned, they're praying for the fulfillment of this great future for man. And they're praying for the correct knowledge. That's what it really is referring to. It's the proper knowledge. It's the proper education so that man can continue the work of Father Abraham to the destiny. So what is the great issue for Scripture or the people of Scripture? This world has been under the influence of oppressive rulers, and the men and women of God have yet to establish a community order of their own that is independent of the oppressive, idolatrous ruling orders of the world. This is the hope. So Jesus Christ, he left a prayer with his followers, praying for the kingdom to come on earth as in heaven. And in that prayer, he also asks of God, give us this day our daily bread. And we spoke last week about how he fed himself to his disciples as a personification of the word of God. He fed himself to the disciples, and they were to feed upon him as a knowledge body, to preserve his knowledge, and also to keep to the way until the coming of the final prophet. So all of this history has to be seen in connection with this verse where God says, this day have I perfected for you your religion. Because all of the aspirations, all of the hopes of the prophets that came before, for man to have the right understanding and man to have everything he needs to truly and correctly or properly establish his nature in society in the way that God intended, and in the way that will satisfy his soul. All of that is now fulfilled in the mission of Muhammad the Prophet. Prayers and peace be upon him. It's perfected. And the significance is, according to the history, this verse was revealed during the farewell pilgrimage, where all of the Muslims gathered together. It's estimated, I believe the estimate is about 140,000 converged on Mount Arafat. And the reason why they get that number is just the sheer size of the Arafat, the actual mount, and the valley itself is considered all Arafat. And the report says that it was filled completely with people. So from that alone, that's how they get the estimate of the number. And in that sermon, they say that this verse was actually revealed during the sermon. And then some say it was revealed on the way home back to Mecca after he gave the sermon. But what's necessary then to know is that we have to connect this verse to the sermon itself. Because the surah actually begins discussing Hajj, the rule of hunting, and that how the Muslims were not, as long as they were in their pilgrim garbs, were not to hunt the animals of the land, but only the game of the sea. But after they were through with their Hajj rites, they can go back to hunting on the land. And all of this has significance because the Hajj as a ritual itself speaks to, again, the original life that God created. And this is why on the Hajj there's no fighting, there's no arguing, there's none of these things, there's no bloodshed except for the time of sacrifice. Because all of these things speak to the original life as God created it. So when we look at the farewell pilgrimage, our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he put emphasis on what we consider to be the most critical issues that face us on this earth today. What did he put issue on? The injustice of debt. First and foremost, the supremacy of God over everything. God has first rights, the supremacy of God over everything. And then he put emphasis on the burden of debt and the injustice of the burden of debt. And he also highlighted the rights of the female, the rights of women. And then he highlighted the problem of nationalism. And then he highlighted the problem of racism. There's no superiority of a black or a white over a black. There's no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab or a non-Arab over an Arab. So really he put racism first and then nationalism. And then he connected it to the Quran and he highlighted the value of moral excellence, moral and ethical excellence. So this is his last pilgrimage. So we all know if someone leaves their last message before a people, this really sums up what their whole mission was about. And we know, as we just mentioned, the prophet, his work sums up the work of all the prophets that came before him. So when we look at the farewell sermon and we look at the actual contents of it, we see that it is addressing universals, or more importantly or more specifically, he is addressing the sacred value of human life. That's what he's addressing. And if we would look at all of the laws of Al-Islam, the laws of marriage, the laws of worship, the laws of crime and punishment, all of them center on the value of the human person. And it is after or during his addressing these issues that center on the value of human essence, the value of the human person. In that context, God says, now I have perfected for you your religion. So this Surah Al-Ma'idah, it comes as the fifth surah to say, among many things, that the job, the mission of the prophets and messengers has been completed. Because five, as you know, has reference to completion. And it's interesting that the table spread that was prayed for by the disciples in Jesus Christ, it is given in their language as a rectangle. But the hint in our language is that it comes as a circle. And the number five, you all know, is a circle. And it comes from heaven, which connects to a circle. And it's a consistent, it feeds consistently over and over again, which has reference to a circle, all of this language. And it has reference to completion, and it has reference to universal. So the Prophet Muhammad, he is really the fulfillment of the prayers of the disciples. The Quran is the fulfillment of the prayer of the disciples in Christ Jesus. And, of course, he is the fulfillment, and the Quran is the fulfillment of the hope of Abraham. So after this, the prophet goes, after this farewell pilgrimage, the prophet goes to Medina, and shortly thereafter he passes away. But he leaves with us Islamic life, the Islamic community model. Not only do we have the Islamic law, meaning the way we are supposed to behave, but we have the Islamic ethic, which is the direction or the substance of the law. In other words, we don't just have a system of do's and don'ts. We have a system of logic that's telling us why we do and don't do. And we have Madinatul Munawwara, which stands as a message. It stands as the fulfillment of prophecy, and it stands as a message for the nations of the world for as long as humanity exists on this planet Earth. So he goes home shortly thereafter and lives out the rest of his days as prophet, but he finishes or he completes his mission in Medina. But according to one report, he says, that he has left with the people two things. As long as they have stuck with him, they will never go astray. As long as we stick with them, we will never go astray. That's the Quran and his Sunnah. And in one narration, it just says the Quran. He has left with us. And as long as we stick with it, we will never go astray. But what's interesting to know is this. The prophet, even during his passing, had armies sent out on missions. He had trained. He had relationships being built with leaders of other societies. So even though his mission was being brought to a conclusion, his work was not. And Imam Muhammad said that we should understand when we consider his sunnah that his sunnah is ongoing. His sunnah is continuously progressing, and it lives in those who carry his work, and it actually grows with those who carry his work forward. So all of this we have to understand when we see Surah Al-Ma'idah. The prophet is, I'm saying this to kind of recap. The prophet is concluding the essential message of al-Islam. This surah concludes the role of the Quran in relationship to the scriptures that came before. For instance, as we mentioned, it's a muhaimin over it. And because of these things, the Christians recognize the value of the Quran. Hence, it is said that they hear the message and they fall into tears. And they make they submit. In one part of the Quran, it says they actually make sajda because they recognize its truth. And Allah also gives us the warning that among those who will oppose the mission of al-Islam will be among those, among the Jews and the polytheists, because they don't like the message of universality given to Muhammad the Prophet, and they want to work against that message, and there's much to be said about that. But to keep it brief, the same reason why they would work against our mission, not all the Jews, but a particular group, is because it's for the same reason that they worked against Christ Jesus, that they want exclusive rights before God, and they want exclusive rights to the office of Khalifa on this earth above all others. And al-Islam comes, as Jesus Christ did, to give that right, to give those rights and give that work to all human beings who would take the challenge and stand up to qualify for it. So this is all given in Ma'idah. And if you notice, from Surah Al-Baqarah all the way to Surah Al-Ma'idah, there's a certain tone in the language. It's a lot about the law, and it's a lot about the scriptures that came before. And after Surah Al-Ma'idah, when we go to Surah An'am, it has a different feel to it. It has a different spirit to it. And it goes now into the details of the history with the issue of polytheism, et cetera, and the history of Abraham and the history of the prophets, et cetera. And as you read, you will see this. The Quran actually, it's like when you're traveling and the landscape changes depending upon where you are. So if you travel from New York to California, you will witness a difference in the various landscapes across this nation. It's the same thing when we're reading the Quran. So this fifth surah, the first or the beginning discussion of the Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah, is kind of brought to a conclusion itself. And then something else, another focus is given, though it's all connected. So this is what I want us to walk away with when we are beginning the study of this surah. And I want to say this in conclusion. What we have to know here in America, in light of what we have been discussing here today, what has been discussed in the previous, really for as long as this program has been going on, and really just in general, Allah has not left us without great help. This community is a very special community, and we have been blessed with special keys. We have been blessed with special eyes because of what Allah has done through us since the Nation of Islam. As Imam Muhammad called them, the master teacher and the master liberator, 1, 2, and 3. That's Mr. Farah. That's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Because of that history, we as a community, in our thinking, in our mind, in our spirit, we have precious keys. We have precious insight that you will not find in the hands of Muslims in America, and you will not find them among Muslims in the world. You may find a handful of Muslims on the world who have these insights, but they are too weak, they are unable to bring them to the world public, if they have them at all. And it's not only they're just the leaders who have them. But all of us collectively, the way this community has been set up, all of us have access to it. And those of us who have more access, we are obligated to those who have left. And we are committed in an absolute way to establish this life that God has given to us, to establish this life that God has shown us for the upliftment of our people and for the upliftment of all humanity, or those who will benefit from what we have. So I just want to conclude I want to thank Sister Fitra again for this wonderful work. We are a very blessed community, a very special community, and I don't want us to ever forget that. But I do want to remind everyone, as I conclude here, to stay on the line. We have another presentation or more messaging to be shared with you all. So please stay on the line, and I greet you all with the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear community, assalamu alaikum. God's peace be on you. Thank you, Imam Rashad, for another scholarly lecture. I am excited to say that I have just enrolled into Imam Rashad's Quranic and Leadership course that begins in early September. Make sure to check it out. I cannot wait to learn more. Don't forget to register for the Mosque Cares Ministry of Imam Wadis Adin Muhammad's 31st Annual Muslim Convention. That is on September, Sunday the 6th. So it's Sunday, the 6th of September. Please register for the five-part conference, a historical look at the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You can read about our panelists in the Muslim Journal and register for the conference in the newsletter or by visiting studyalislam.com website. The conference begins on Tuesday. We ask Allah that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Claire Muhammad and all of our pioneers are in paradise. The newsletter is emailed every Saturday. It has so much information in it. If you are not receiving it, please visit studyalislam.com and subscribe. And don't forget to donate to keep Study Al Islam growing. So today, our special presentation is on why we must vote. And Oscar is Sister Jamia Adams. Imam Rashad just made the case for this discussion. We have been learning the knowledge and clear understanding of the Quran every Sunday on Study Al-Islam so that we could be prepared to do what we need to do and how to respond to situations and challenges in our lives according to what Allah says and His Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, exemplified. The Quran is a living book, and it gives us examples after examples about the people before us. Okay, so I watched the Republican convention to hear Trump's acceptance speech. Maya Angelou said, when a person tells you who they are, you better believe them. This president's spirit and character displays racist supremacy, nationalism, and egotism. And he demonstrates it in his leadership over the people. President is a modern-day pharaoh. Imam Muhammad taught us that we should understand the types of people described in the Quran as social conditions of the time. This is a perfect example. Look at our condition. This president talks about law and order. Let me translate what he means according to his actions. This president has put in top government positions his friends and family. They are masterful distractors. Too many have been charged with criminal actions and placed in prison. This president used law and order to pardon them. This president has ignored the historical abuse and legitimate claims of police abuse against African Americans, and he is using it to roll back years of progress and fan the fire of hate and fear. So let's look at what law and order looks like for us. This president said, if you vote him back into office, he will give the police greater power. This means more stop and search, more intimidation, more victimization, increase in deaths of people in our community,
more tragedies like Jacob Blake, who was shot 7 times in the back in front of his 3 young sons. And he lay in the hospital, paralyzed, ankle shackled to the bed like a slave after his master's whipping. This president said in his acceptance speech, he has the power to send in armed militias and protesters. He sent in troops on mosques in Portland and troops on young peaceful protesters in D.C. Most of them were Caucasian. So make no mistake, no one is safe. There is no honor among thieves. Imam Mikel Shabazz from Portland told us that the agitators were not from the community. The same happened in New York and Seattle. These agitators came to disrupt the peaceful protesters who were standing up for Black Lives Matter and the right to peaceful protest, freedom, justice, and equality for all of us. That young 17-year-old who used a semi-automatic rifle to kill 2 people and blow off the arm of another was a militia, a Trump supporter. We better heed the warning. If this president is reelected, we will have given him and his supporters unchecked power over us for another 4 years. Is Biden and Kamala an answer to our prayers? Absolutely. I am not mesmerized by Biden and Kamala, but they are angels compared to this president. If you don't vote for Biden and Kamala, and if you vote for Kanye and divide our votes, that is a vote for Trump. Make no mistake, Biden and Kamala are not our saviors, but God knows we cannot bear another 4 years of Donald Trump. And you may say you can, and I can, but what about those who don't have al-Islam? What about those, our children, walking down the street who get stopped? Certainly we know that Allah is in charge. Never before on this magnitude have we experienced people of all faiths and cultures standing with us. We have a responsibility to get in this fight. I am not willing to be quiet and watch this president use Willie Lynch tactics on us. Those days are over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not sitting in the heavens manipulating us like puppets on a string. Allah tells us, he instructs us to pray and then go to work. Allah tells us, the good we experience from him is from him, and the bad is from our own hands. Allah says he will never change our condition until we change our heart. One of the most often quoted hadiths, when you see a wrong, do something, say something, or at a minimum, feel it in your heart. We must vote and make sure that our family and friends vote. Now let's get right to our guest, Sister Jamia, who I have great admiration for and the work she performs. You can read her bio in the Study Al-Islam Islam newsletter. Sister Jamia, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Fitra.
So I want to get right to it. Oh, we are happy to have you on. You are a trusted voice in our community and one of experience in the political field. So what are some of the ways that voter suppression shows itself in our community?
So, Sister Fitcher, I first want to define what voter suppression is. Voter suppression is anything that suppresses the vote, that decreases the number of people who will come out to vote. That's laws, closing of polling centers, disruption of the mail election, misinformation, less polling areas in Black communities. All of this is voter suppression. We saw a change to our Voting Rights Act in 2013 that allowed states to go ahead and make laws without oversight from the federal government. So this greatly damaged states that had large black populations. And these laws were in place because, of course, we saw discrimination in mostly southern states and states with larger black populations. We are seeing this again with an increased number of laws of change that require voter IDs, that are closing polling centers, are just making it more difficult to vote, purging foreign-sounding names, which many of us have, quote-unquote, foreign-sounding names. So all of this damages our communities, and we have to be aware of this, but still vote.
I can tell you that that happened to me. I went to vote in the primaries, and they told me I had not declared myself as Republican or Democrat, and as a result, I could only vote by ballot, and I could not vote on the machines. So what should we be doing in the next 30 days?
Sure. So there's a number of different things that I'm going to give the community to make sure that they do, so that what happened to Sister Fitra will not happen to you. And if it does happen, you know to request a what is called a provisional ballot. So in the next 30 days, and I'm going to provide, I've already provided this list of things to Sister Fitra, and if the community needs it, all this information will be available for their having. So I would love everyone to check to make sure that your voter registration is current. You can go to vote.org. That's VOTE.org. It is a nonpartisan website that pulls information from secretaries of state. This is official voting information. I know that we have a number of UMA members who are on the line from various different states. Each of our states have different laws. And so what this website does is checks your registration and also lets you know the laws within your state. I want you to, and I encourage you all, to tell your friends and family to do the same thing. Share this link, the vote.org link, with them via social media and or email. If you find out that you're registered, that you are not registered to vote and you have moved, be sure to register to vote before your state voter registration deadline. Many deadlines are late September and October. Some states have same-day registration, but we encourage you all to register before November, before the voter registration deadline. And if you do have same-day to vote, to register sooner than later, just to be sure that all and everything is as it should be. I live in California, and our governor has signed an executive order so that all registered California voters will receive a mail-in ballot, but all states have not done that. So if you are not already signed up for a mail-in ballot or an absentee ballot, you can make sure that you are registered, and you can do that via your Secretary of State website, which you can access via the vote.org website. There are five states that are signed up for automatic vote by mail. Those states include Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Utah, and Washington State. They conduct what is commonly known as all mail-in ballots. This information is via Ballotpedia. So I want to provide all the resources because it's important for everyone to know where does this information come from and to understand that this is secure information. I want everyone to have this as well. Lastly, we have a poll worker shortage. We are in a pandemic, brothers and sisters, and this pandemic unfortunately makes some of our elders are more susceptible to this virus. And so there are many poll workers that have been staffed by elderly workers, and they cannot work on November 3rd sometimes. They cannot expose themselves to what will likely be the pandemic continuing. And so there's a big push right now to hire additional poll workers. And so I encourage you, if you're able, please consider signing up to work as a poll worker on November 3rd, Election Day. You likely need to attend a training before then, and most states pay for election workers. Brother LeBron James, who we're all familiar with, launched a campaign last week to recruit young black poll workers. You can sign up via his website or your Secretary of State website. The project is a collaboration of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund and aims to recruit young people to serve at polling locations in black communities in swing states, including Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, and Ohio. Their goal is specifically to fight back against voter suppression, which is what Sister Fitra started us out speaking about. You can go to morethanavote.org. That's morethanavote.org. All of these resources are nonpartisan resources. My sole purpose here today is to provide civic information, participation. And I want to thank Sister Fitra for allowing me this audience to speak to the community that I was birthed from and feel so strongly for and the love for. We must vote as a community. Please encourage your family members, your friends, and additional folks and share this information. I am not telling you anything but the fact that it is crucial that we vote in this election. This may be the most important modern election in the United States history. Thank you very much, Sister Fitra.
Sister Jamia, before you leave, I would like to ask you if you would come back if there is new news about voting, anything that we should know in order that we are prepared. We don't want to be caught off guard. And so we've learned that we have to be in this fight. We have to be in this fight. Imam Muhammad told us to get with other people of like minds, and we are all suffering. We are all at risk. No one is safe under this leadership, and he has made it very clear. So I'd just like to know if we can invite you back whenever you feel as though that there is information that we need to know about.
Yes, Sister Fitcher, I'm happy to come back and speak to the community and provide any new information. And I just encourage, again, for the community to take this information for the next 30 days, because this is really key, what I provided this morning for the next 30 days. And please do share it with your community and check your registration, because even though you may believe that you're registered, you have your voter registration card, it is important. It will behoove us all to just double check our voter registration. Thank you, Sister Fitra.
Thank you. All I can say is Imam Muhammad said, make no mistake, our job is to remake the world. Well, we can't remake the world if we're not a part of it, in it, and involved. We are building a model community on a great legacy. Next week, our speaker is Imam Yahya Abdullah, inshallah. Until next week, God's peace be upon you, your sister and friend, Fitra. Vote.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I am not sure if I am being heard. The website through AM360, to Blog Talk is down. I have tried continuously to access the Blog Talk platform, but I am receiving a message from the website that the website is under maintenance. It says, and our engineers are working hard. We'll be back online shortly. I'm not sure if I am being heard, nor am I sure if the Study Al-Islam broadcast was shared over the airways due to Blog Talk being under maintenance. I'm not sure. I do not have a visual of the studio, so I'm not even aware if there are callers on the line at this time. So we apologize for this technical glitch that is not on. It's not due to any deficiency from the community-wide Shura or American Muslim 360 construct. The flaw is not ours. It is as I stated earlier, the Blog Talk website. Hold on, I see Martha Nyder calling.
The Community-Wide Shura Conference is asking everyone to become a volunteer that can support the vision to remake our world into a better place by unleashing and harnessing the full capacity inherent in the group intellect. It has become our mission to realize our model community vision by operating as a national intelligentsia, researching, designing, communicating, and implementing solutions that enhance goal achievement in all aspects of our community life. So whatever you are given is but a provision of this world's life, and that which Allah has is better and more lasting for those who believe and rely on their Lord, and those who respond to their Lord and keep up prayer, and whose affairs are decided by counsel among themselves. The noble and glorious Quran, Surah Ash-Shura, 36:38. CWSC recognizes again that only through Shura can the power of the group intellect be fully utilized for solving problems and discovering opportunities that help each of us improve our individual, family, and community life. Let's reach for paradise.
Peace be upon you. Are you enjoying what you're hearing? If so, stay tuned. We'll be right back after these short messages. You are listening live to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in all of the nation. Al-Islam-based conversations and financial literacy equals financial liberation, which equals a natural mating and marrying of faith and finance. This program dares to do the unthinkable, and all you need is imagination, faith, and a dream. Welcome to the team. These two programs are a preview of the promised inheritance and thought-provoking journey, putting us in front of a new set of information which guarantees different and desired results. It is part science and part art, as it moves from the head to the heart, two separate but equal parts. Balance, an ideal that only the wise seek. If this is for you, you've come to the right place. And now, Imam Nazim Pasha.
Hi, I'm Malik Spellman. In 2016, a large number of African Americans were killed by the police departments throughout the United States. It is an overwhelming statistic that we need to take knowledge to due to the fact that this type of behavior can come to a theater near you, even if you're not African American. The crimes against African Americans have to stop. These atrocities that are taking place throughout the world and in the United States consist of people being beaten, oppressed, marginalized, and oftentimes wrongfully incarcerated. See, you have to keep in mind one thing, that when we say Black Lives Matter, we're not talking about the individuals, per se, because it's obvious Black Lives don't matter. Look at the condition. If Black Lives really mattered, instead of just being a slogan, it would be something that would allow you to contemplate your thoughts and let it be a sting to your chest and a reminder to your conscience of the conditions that were left for Black people. Work harder and try to outwork everyone else. And to remind children that you don't have to be the president, but you can enjoy the American dream. Once again, as I always say, there's no simple solution. Only intelligent choices when it comes to deciding whether or not Black lives matter, Black GPAs matter, or Black economics matter. Remember one thing, accept the challenge to change. And keep in mind that God will never change the conditions of any people until they change the conditions of their hearts and their community. Black lives matter. Thank you.
Why should I vote? Nothing ever changes. The system is rigged. Why bother? Whether you're trying to get dinner on the table after working a double shift, dropping baby off with grandma, or studying for exams, voting can feel like the furthest thing from your mind. You might even feel like it's just not worth it. But that's exactly what some people want you to think. The truth is, when we stay home, things stay the same or they get worse. But when we all vote, we get new ideas and new energy. We get leaders who share our values and listen to our voices. That's how we change America. And that's why it's so important to register right now and vote this November. And in every election, go to whenweallvote.org or text WeAllVote to 97779 to get started and know that your vote will make a difference.
This is Imam Nazim Pasha of El Islam-Based Conversations and Financial Literacy Equals Financial Liberation. CWSC invites you to join the National Dialogue Campaign and get the premier dialogue publication of the year. Hot off the press, we're pleased to offer the 2020 CWSC Limited Edition Remaking Our World Islamic History Calendar, a tribute to the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. This beautiful publication is a 12-month wall calendar commemorating the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad and the history of an American Muslim community. This beautiful keepsake features El Quran and Hadith, a commentary of Imam Muhammad, Muslim, Christian, and Jewish holidays, the critically acclaimed contextual biography, Islam's Universal Beliefs, analysis of one of the most intriguing chapters in American Muslim and world history. And it marks the 10th anniversary of American Muslim 360 Radio Network. Purchase your limited edition copy today at cwsc.us, that's cwsc.us, or order by phone at 910-317-0297. Remaking Our World Calendar 2020, chronicling the history of a community and an extraordinary legacy of leadership that brings America face to face with what Islam is and is not and what its presence means. But hurry, this limited edition Dawah publication will not last forever. Go to cwsc.us now. Together we can remake the world. Blessed 2020. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and we're back. And we're in the host seat, so that's change. In that small time period that I talked about, change can happen overnight. You know, you can be sitting right there in the room and change happened, and you never got wind of it because you were asleep. So what I'm saying is this here. Technology rules. Now, it doesn't overrule Allah. It doesn't overrule, you know, the Sunnah, the Sirah, you know, none of that. You know what I'm saying? But Allah has seen fit that it be the order of the day, technology and information. If you don't know that you don't know, then you don't know what you need to know. That's a fact, because what? Information, knowledge is out there. So I'm not going to try to convince you of that. I'm going to talk a little bit more. We got about 2 minutes on the clock. Anybody that wants to call in, ask questions, make comments, observations, you're welcome now. I can receive you with open arms. But I want to walk down this path a little bit, because there's a lot of meat substance here, and there's a lot of opportunities out there, and sometimes we don't see them because we don't have this particular thing that I'm going to mention here. All these particular four things that I'm going to mention here. And the first thing is vision. We don't see it as an opportunity. We see it all the work or all the learning, or we see how other people have tried it and failed, and we don't see any African Americans in it, and we don't see any Muslims in it, and we don't see if Allah, you know, finds that halal or haram, and sounds like it's what's too good to be true. All that vision eliminates all of that. You see it where it's at now, and you see it what you could do to take it where you want it to go, because you have that kind of confidence in yourself. So what has to happen before that? The next thing that we're talking about is self-image. You have to have a self-image of yourself. You have to believe in yourself. You have to have done some things that made you believe in yourself. You have to have read some things that told you about your worth and your value, and about giving yourself a permission slip. You have to have good habits, good decision-making skills, tithing skills, good interpersonal and intrapersonal skills. It's all about having a skill set, because life that we talked about last hour, it's all about ability. If we don't have the ability to do a thing, that thing won't either get done or we won't approach it with the confidence. We'll be tiptoeing, nickeling and diming, hoping and praying, wishing and hoping. That's not what gets a job done. It needs the attention that it needs. It needs the work that it needs. It needs the effort that it needs. It needs the commitment that it needs. And that's the only thing will work. And then at the end of that, the letters success will be there. You will be a successful person at that venture. You will be able to make a contribution in that arena. You will be able to empower and lead other people to a duplicatable system that will do the same thing for them by following you as a role model. And what are you following? The principles that govern that particular genre or whatever. It's not you. It's the principles. So when you die, you won't take it with you. The principles will be left here on earth. You'll just go back down to the earth, and then the principles will stay here. Sound like a good deal, fair deal to me. You came here and inherited some because someone left him. You die, you leave something, and they inherit it. And the cycle goes on. You die having not known anything, having not left anything, and then that cycle starts. Your family legacy doesn't exist because it didn't get established. Whose fault was that? The people who tried to hold you back and they succeeded, and they have another success story. Held them back, gatekeeped them out, bullied them away, scared them to death about it. Put the boogeyman on them. That's out there. Anytime you make any effort to try to go forward with your life, you're going to meet opposition. The greatest opposition we have is ourselves. We talk ourselves into something and then talk ourselves out of it the next moment because somebody said, girl, you can't. And then there it goes. So what does that mean? There's a need for new friends. There's a need for new people to help you with your self-image and yourself. All they got to say is stuff that's not worthwhile hearing. So why are you still listening? Replace, not them per se, but replace that conversation with some people who talk differently. You know, who say little snide remarks that are put down. enough chains on your armor and you'll be armorless. And then chain you to death. Little old Weisenheimer remarks, little signifying. But they there because they your friend and they whatever. Don't do that. Friends don't need have a need to do that. What friends am I talking about? Real friends. Friends don't really have to always overlook your whatever nuances. They should be able to approach you either a letter or I was just wondering, or girl, can we, or hey, look here, man, can you look constructive criticism, man? You know, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, ooh, and then you have the conversation. That's what friends do. How do I know? I don't have a lot of friends, but I have a lot of people who have befriended me, who have taken me under their arm, who have made me aware of certain things. They just became passing acquaintances. You know, they didn't stay in my life for any length of time. And I'm all right with that. But what they left as a deposit has affected my life just like they were friends. So I like that commercial Farmers Market. Farmers Insurance. They say, we've seen a thing or two, so we know a thing or two. I've heard a thing or two, so I know a thing or two. Because what? The sources were reliable. Tension was none other than to help me, to help myself to be a better self. Some of them I adopted as mentors and we want to call it coaches or whatever. What do you want to call it? Because that's how valuable they are. But they're not necessarily friends. I have access to them, and I have access to what they're sharing. You know what I'm saying? But I only have one friend. It's been my friend for, we did the count, I think, 48 years. See, he's my best friend in the whole wide world. You know, those kind of people that know a lot about you, you know, before you was whoever you are now and what the people see and all that stuff, you know. And a lot of that stuff that they see, they know they probably going to take it to the grave, vice versa with me. Because not necessarily, it's not private, it's not public business. But the point I'm trying to make is this here. There are certain things we need in life. When we get those things, our life changes drastically. That's all I'm saying. And what is personal is most universal, you know. I don't think anybody on the phone couldn't relate to it. It may not be presently in their lives. They may not even agree with it. But it's what humans go through and do to try to do certain things. So anyway, vision, self-image, habits, and then the results. Where you are, where you want to be. You got to have that in front of you. Where am I right now? I'm not in a good place. You know, I'm in a good place. I'm cooking with gas. Whatever it is that you have to say about yourself, that's what? Truthful. Not where you want to be, not your psych job that you do for yourself, not your put on the hit parade song and then, you know, it lifts your spirit. No, none of that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying don't do that. That can be a part of the process, but don't let that be the process. You know, they've manufactured this thing for us, so we go get cut on the comedy hour so we can laugh. I say it again about life. Life is enough for life. It has the provisions in it. You want joy in your life? Go get some joy. You ain't got to go get the comedy hour and something to make you laugh. Do something that will bring joy and humor into your life and let it be a constant. See? Now, I understand people think, man, teach about financial literacy. Okay, I will. Get out my life, man. Okay, I will. You know, because this is not a put down. This is not an oversee people's lives. Whatever you're doing, if you're satisfied with it, keep doing it. But don't be not open to some other things. And then you can compare and contrast. That's what the Quran does. It presents the ideal, and then it says, okay, now you mash that one out there with anything else. And it says it in the Quran. If you can't duplicate this, but you can't. Right behind the invitation, you can't duplicate it. It's not duplicatable in that sense. that you're going to make something better than this, and you don't need it anymore. That worked for a while. Good show, Islam. I appreciate you. Got me where I need to go. I got it now. No, that's not going to happen. It's going to keep increasing and evolving and empowering you and the people who come after you. You see? It's that. It never loses interest. It never loses its capacity to empower or to be powerful. It is timeless, ageless, all the stuff that you think in a mortal way, it's not. Okay, 21 minutes here. So let me get to what? We talked about vision, self-image. Just a little bit there. It's the way we see ourselves. And we are not our thoughts. See, our mind, we control it. It doesn't control us. It works for us. If things aren't working, it's not your mind's fault. You haven't developed the mind to get the work done. The mind will do whatever you want it to do. But if you're listening to the thoughts that's in your head or in your subconscious, then that's on you. It's in your voice. It's telling you you won't be afraid. Watch out. All that. It's doing all that. But how we respond is up to us. Can't tell it, shut up. I don't want to hear that today. And go put something in that's going to be beneficial. I mentioned a couple of books. Now, The Magic of Thinking Big, Acquire the Secrets of Success, Achieve Everything You've Always Wanted, David J. Schwartz. Braggadocious to a certain degree, but I stand behind this book, one of the most beneficial, comprehensive books that I read. And there's no magic. The magic seems to appear because there's so many mysteries about life and thinking and this thing we call human beings. So when people write that, it's because they honestly believe that that's the best way to approach it. That it's certain things that have been kept from us or kept a secret, then when they get revealed, then the secret is out. No, it never was a secret. God did not want us to know. Man wanted us not to know. So in that terms, it's a secret. So this is magic because of the results that it gives you. Placing this simple little book, you know, reading is a chance for some people. They go to Kindle and everything, and I'm eventually probably going to convert to that. But what I'm saying in the meantime, read the book, but without trying to read the whole book. When we get to a point that really, really interests you, read that point over and over until it becomes habitual. Consciously conscious of that, and that's what you're doing. Because it's the little things, the subtle things, the detailed things that get the real success. Little things that we call little are actually giving us a bigger picture, a better chance at the big things. So you should start with big things. Don't get me wrong. But the success, the foundation, the consistency, it's going to be the little things. You know, putting those little things that other people should be doing but they're not doing in your is going to get the success. Knowing the difference between cooking and baking. That's a simple little thing. I can cook. I can't bake nothing. I don't be in there trying to bake nothing. See? Because it's got a recipe you got to follow. And if you don't follow that recipe, it ain't going to be like grandma's or whoever cooks that, whoever bakes that and know how to bake. When you're cooking, you can experiment. You can do what you can salvage something that you burn. I burn. Let me say, oh yeah, just a little back down. Oh, I can get that out. Oh yeah, yeah, still good. Oh yeah, still good. See, but when you be cutting off a lot of cake, you know, you burn that cake up, and you know if it falls, all kind of problems can happen. You know what I'm talking about. You bakers out there, you know what I'm saying. So anyway, so that's a simple thing, but it's big in a lot of perspective, and you got to know the difference between that and that. Okay. Like I said before, The Magic of Thinking Big, very powerful book, another two books. Liberating Minds from an Oppressive World Environment by Wally A. Sabir. Must read book if you plan on liberating your mind from the oppressive world environment that we live in. There's words out there that are designed to check us. Who is us? Us, the masses, the elite, want to keep you in check. You know, that sheltered in place. It's almost like saying stay in your place, even if it's making you crazy. Don't come out. Corona, you. Okay. Don't tip out. Put your mask on. Where you going? See, I'm not against none of that. I mask. I wash. I wait. I get keep my distance. I do all of that. But not because they said it. I find it scientifically acceptable and intelligent and insane and sensible, and I don't want corona, and I'm going to act like it. But I'm not under their fear button. I'm not under their panic button. I'm not under their timetable. I'm not trying to rush back to the new normal because the normal that we was in wasn't normal nor natural. So I'm not rushing to get that back. I've had enough time to think about it, and I'm making some serious changes. I don't want that anymore. That was the old way. There's a new way, and there's a new world waiting on us if we will accept the new way. It's waiting. The new world's waiting. Believe it or not, it's waiting. Okay, so here's a poem that I was introduced to, and I'm going to introduce it to you. And for a small fee, if you want it, email me, call me, and I will send it to you. I'm just joking. No, I'll be happy to share it with you. And so you want me to send you the link or send you the PDF file at this point because it is really seriously powerful. It's called The Habit Poem. I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or your heaviest burden. I will push you onward. I'll drag you down to the failure. I am completely at your command. Half of the things you do, you might as well turn over to me, and I will do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You must be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of great people, and alas, of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I am not a machine, though. I work with the precision of a machine, plus the intelligence of a person. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. What am I? I am habit. Powerful. I know, you know, we might, whatever. But if someone's trying to describe the benefit and the blessing of habit, and if you let it be, it's a law giving you a sign or instructions of the value of habit. Take men out of it. Take who the writer or the person, I don't know, they were anonymous or whatever. They just did their best to explain to their fellow human beings what the value of habit is. I have people in my life who share stuff like that, so when I got it, I share it with other people. What you do or don't do, it is up to you. I place a great value on it. It is very descriptive, very powerful, very much addresses what habit does. Is there a better one way of saying it? Absolutely. The best of whatever has already come hasn't come yet. So if you want to get it, read it, and improve it, feel free. It's what life does. It evolves, and it evolves us. And so if we're not evolving and improving and doing all these things, then we're not a part of life. 504 coming to you. So that's that. We're in a little kind of a different format today, so we want to definitely hear from the listening audience. So I'm going to bring in 504. State your name and where you're calling from and whether you have a question or a comment.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah, how you doing, Azeem?
I'm fine, brother. How you been?
Yeah. Fine, praise be to Allah. Trying to keep busy.
Yes,
praise
sir.
Praise be to Allah. Something that I like to share.
Okay.
Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim. And assalamu alaikum to everybody and listening audience too. Alhamdulillah. Let's appreciate mutual consultation. It's improved by the dedication of the mission. CWSC and AM360 are powerful collective force, alive keeping us on the right course. Unity allows us to achieve more. The protesters are doing a good job. We should pray that they would never stop. Our Creator is bringing humanity back to where it should be. Our soul and mind must be free. The street gangs are rising up again, deceiving our children with a lot of monies and material things. Like the rapper, they want good gold chains and rings. They call that blank blank. Let's not victimize each other. We must realize that coming together will help us to be more than, will help us do more than survive. We are tired of the lies. Politicians must serve the needs of our community, but we are not waiting on anyone in this society. We are becoming more aware of our responsibilities. We will continue to stay focused on supplying neighborly needs. Thank you, Almighty God. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
You and I are aware of that we're trying to start here where you can come on in the comfort of your home, in the comfort of your clothes, and however you want to be, whatever environment you want to put yourself in, and hear things like that. Just as I read my poem that I thought was significant, not my poem, the poem I read, he cited a poem. He's gotten respect in our community, got social capital. I mean, some people call him Bilal, a professor, you know, on and on and on. But he's taken the time to develop a God-given talent. And when you hear him, if you're listening, there's a message there. That shouldn't escape you. Not just poetry. There's a message there that's put in a poetic form. I write a little poetry myself so I can appreciate the art form. And that's what it is. It's an art form. Just like some people say, I can't dance. I got two left foot. Some people can't write nothing that rhyme. They know dime and crime, maybe, whatever they know. Whatever they know, you know, but they're forced to write out one that flows like that. No, they can't do it, so they don't do it. Or they don't know. It's not something. It's learned behavior, so let me say that first of all. But there are certain inclinations that make us go down that path. Mine was, I love words. I love the power of words. I love what they do and how they stir you and how they enlighten you and how you learn the meaning of them and you can apply them in all, so many different ways. So that love of words led me to poetry and what those words can say to people that you care about or people that you don't know and can help them in a situation, take them out of the dark and lead them into the light. That's exciting to me, to take a blank piece of paper and create a poem, to take a blank piece of paper and write a letter, to take a blank piece of paper and write books or a book. See, that is the ultimate excitement. I mean, I forget about food. I forget about time. I forget about everything while I'm doing that. It's a passion of mine. And that's a good thing as long as you don't let the passion control you. There are other things in life besides doing those things that you enjoy. So that's why I'm saying, know how to bring joy in your life in a healthy way. These people have gotten unhealthy. So a lot of what they bring into our lives, even though it has some benefit, it's not healthy. See, it's good to us, but it's not good for us. You have to determine what those things are. I'm not going to try to even name anything to determine them. I'm just telling you they're out there. You have to decide for yourself. You know, I'm not in that business of trying to help people decide what they want in their life or for their lives. I'm simply here to say it is your life. If it doesn't stay in healthy or in good, if it falls into disrepair, don't blame the people. Blame yourself. You wasn't a good watch. You know, you didn't keep good watch. You didn't take care of yourself. You let some appetite, some desire, some fun thing, whatever, be too much of a thing. And that's what Allah says. He says, keep balance in your life. Don't go to an extreme. Even you think it's a good thing. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We're not talking about right and wrong. We're talking about frequency, the amount of times. and the body that you're putting it in, it can't even recuperate from the last time you did all that, or ate all that, or didn't get any sleep, or worked yourself like this poem said, like you're a machine. You're not rested from the last time you went on one of them missions. And this particular area, I'm saying it like I'm saying it because I was guilty. I was a workaholic. I didn't even look up to see how many hours I had worked. I just lowered my head and did what I had to do because I was on a mission. I was burning the candle at both ends. That's what I thought it was going to take to get where I needed to go. And I wanted to get it done in a way that I didn't want to involve other people. And I wanted to have some resources to be able to do things that other people were doing. And I put all that responsibility on myself. It wasn't fair to them or me, looking back. Because in order to achieve it, you sacrifice your time with them to give them something that only you can give them. There's some things that money can't buy, and that's a good thing. There's some time and some memories that have to be made that only you can make. And if you're not there, you don't make them, and then the time passes, and it would have been a beautiful memory because they were 7 or 8 or 6 or 5. But now they're 19 or 18 or 17 or 15, not so good. A little short, a little late. And don't feel bad if they remind you, where were you when I? How come I had to go and they tell you, where's your, you know, I have a daddy or I have a mother, but they at work all the time. I have things I want to talk to them about, but they're not available. And when I do want to talk to them, they're too tired, or they don't want to listen, or it stresses them out. Not now, baby. Not now. You know, mama's tired. Mama just, daddy did that. Daddy's asleep now. Your dad's asleep. Don't wake him up. So those is what's happening in this modern time that we're living in. And you can get caught up in it so much, so to the degree, you know what they say, hindsight is 20/20. See, that shouldn't be the way that it is. We look back enough. You have to look back to see how you got where you are. And you have to look back in time enough to not regret would I woulda, coulda, shoulda. If I only knew now what I knew then. Excuse me, let me get it right. Let me say that again. Oh, if I only knew then what I know now. I knew it didn't sound right when I said it. That's what people are saying to themselves. Don't make that a frequent refrain. It's not too late to change that. What you know now, move on it like it's, and keep it current. It didn't come to you so you could, yeah, that's good. Well, I ain't got time. I got, what you mean? You ain't got nothing but time. It's how you are managing yourself. Don't try to manage time. Some other mistake people, I'm taking this time management. Okay, well, good luck with that. Been there, done that. Got a book here right now. Organize tomorrow, today. 8 ways to retrain your mind. Optimize performance at work and in life. And what he does is debunk some of the myths about organizations and time and all of that. Daily disciplines done daily. Habits that serve you will get you on the right path to good usage of your time. And when you do waste time, realize it's a valuable thing to waste. And some of the stuff that we do, in the name of whatever we do it for, it's a waste of time. And no better way to say it. So you can keep doing it because it's fun. I just want to let my guard down. You know how it's just a stress buster. Better find a better one. And tired waits for no man. You can sit around, fool around, play around. Do whatever. Excuse yourself for lightly. Hey, Jordan, today. Just make sure you don't have too many of those. Keep track. You know, like you used to have them rollover minutes. Have a little rollover time where you roll over and whatever. Don't make it too much of a habit. And at the same time, don't go to the other extreme. Don't work yourself to death. I've been there. I'm telling you. I hit the wall. I thought I was going to die. I just felt empty. I didn't know. I wasn't sleepy. I wasn't hungry. I just was empty. I bit off more than I could chew. And I didn't realize it until I stopped. When I stopped, oh, reality said, you know what you just did. You do that again, you might not be with us. That was not what you want to do, how you want to do it. You, what you did, you needed more help. You just put your Superman cape on and you just bored your head down and you got her done. But at a great expense, because now you're showing everybody you're Superman and they're going to want them superhuman things from you, and you don't want to send that message. You're creating a Frankenstein. You're not Superman. Superman is a superhero in the movies. You're not a superwoman. Superwoman is a hero in the movies. It's all make-believe. They make you believe you need to do that, and when you do that, you beat your little chest, or you feel real proud, look what I did, I'm this, I'm that, woo-woo. Don't do that. Stop it. Make a contribution that is time-conscious and conscious of what you should be conscious of. It'll be a lasting contribution. It'll be a legacy, and someone can duplicate it, because the one that we're sending, it takes Superman and Superwoman. Anybody got time for that? But they are able to do something that are footsteps that lead to success. Like I just mentioned, vision of your results and what it takes to get those results and share with others how to get those results. That's what we're looking for. This has been Imam Nazim Pasha. We've been on a little ride, a little journey today, ups and downs and rights and lefts and everything, and we made it. So we thank Allah. We praise Allah. We love Allah. We trust in Allah. We seek guidance from Allah. And we'll hopefully be back with you next week at this time for more of Islam-based conversation and financial literacy equals financial liberation. May Allah guide you, protect you. Ameen wa ameen, ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.